Please turn your attention now to the Word of God. Our scripture reading this morning is from two passages. Firstly, in the book of Ruth, chapter 4, and then secondly, Matthew chapter 1, the genealogy of Jesus Christ. So firstly, Ruth 4. This is at the conclusion of the book of Ruth, and the conclusion really, it ends looking forward. So it's kind of a beginning as the Lord would lead his people to King David. Ruth 4. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such an one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi that is come again out of the country of Moab selleth a parcel of land which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself. For I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. And this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, Buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, Ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Kilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel, and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, There is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Phares. Phares begat Hezron. And Hezron begat Ram. And Ram begat Amminadab. And Amminadab begat Nahshon. And Nahshon begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. And now please turn to Matthew chapter 1, where we see in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ that God in his wisdom and kindness has included Ruth to belong in this line leading up to the Messiah, to King Jesus. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar, and Phares begat Ezron, and Ezron begat Aram. And Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Naasson, and Naasson begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. And Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king. And David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Urias. And Solomon begat Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begat Abiah, and Abiah begat Asa. And Asa begat Josaphat, and Josaphat begat Joram, and Joram begat Ozias. And Ozias begat Joatham, and Joatham begat Achaz, and Achaz begat Ezekias. And Ezekias begat Manasses, and Manasses begat Ammon, and Ammon begat Josias. And Josias begat Jeconias and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel begat Abiad, and Abiad begat Eliakim, and Eliakim begat Azor. And Azor begat Sadok, and Sadok begat Achim, and Achim begat Eliad, and Eliad begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Mathan, and Mathan begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Congregation, the heavens and earth will pass away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that we have read, God's truth. Beloved congregation, a late elder who I was privileged to work alongside of used to have this ability that I didn't share and don't have of figuring out family relationships. And he would really delight to learn second, third cousins and different relationships by marriage. And he would be able to put people in their families, and even further back. It was quite an enjoyable thing to see him when something clicked and he found a relationship among the Dutch family further back that his eyes would gleam and he would feel like he's made a great discovery. And then that would lead to a whole nother ability to connect others to that family. And this is a wonder that we may behold in the Word of God in the passages that might be boring to read, that might be a list of names, or several chapters of lists of names, genealogies, those are called, children, where it gives the family line, the parents and the children and the grandchildren and great-grandchildren for many, many generations. We say, what do these teach us? Well, one of the things they teach us is, as we have just sung, that God's footsteps were unknown. They're in the sea, as it were. They're hidden. And yet over the course of years, people get included. People get drawn in. And the wonder of God's grace shines forth. In the congregation I serve over in Bradford, for the Advent weeks, we are considering the genealogy of Jesus from Matthew 1, and just a few people, snapshots out of that genealogy, and what we learn about God's purpose from these people whom God in his sovereign decree and in his will chose to be ancestors of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. So, God willing, next Lord's Day, we'll set this forth before the congregation and preach Ruth, which we hope to do this morning. And what we find from a consideration of Ruth and how she is mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew 1 is that she's an outsider. She's a Moabitess. And she was brought to have the God of Israel as her God, and to have an important place in the coming of King David, and ultimately, obviously, in the coming of Jesus Christ. But the unlikeliness, the surprise, that it would be through a Moabitess, through a stranger, a foreigner, should be a message to you and me. That we may say, who am I? That we may say there are far more candidates that could be used by God, that God could choose to work in. I could never be like them. And yet from Ruth we see it's in the unlikely woman. It's in the one whom we would never guess that God would continue his purpose of redemption so that eventually the Christ, the Messiah, would come forth. Never use it as an excuse. Who am I? How can he use me? Matthew 1 and Ruth's place in Matthew 1 shouts out, declaring to us that to the glory of God's sovereign grace, a Ruth was included in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. So I'd like to consider with you especially the history of Ruth, under the theme, Ruth is in the family line of the king. Ruth is in the family line of the king. We have 3 points. Ruth's kindness, Boaz's redemption, and Jesus's kingship. Ruth is in the family line of the king. Ruth's kindness, Boaz's redemption, and Jesus' kingship. So firstly, in the family line of King Jesus and Ruth's place there, we learn about kindness and the kindness of the Lord. And this is something that we must marvel at as we consider the fact that the Savior came into the world. That Jesus Christ is born. And we can think of what the human race deserved, of what our sins have earned, not the kindness of the Lord, but the wrath of God, the anger of God, and eternal punishment by God. That is what we deserve, and that is what we had coming for us. In Ruth's situation, there was a famine and there were desperate times. There was death and people left desolate. There was dire need. It's after the book of Judges and before the book of Samuel. Most people say probably 325 years from Joshua to the last judge. But it was a time of great need. And yet, the wonder of the book of Ruth and the wonder of the character of Ruth is the kindness that she shows to Naomi. The kindness that she acts out of in her hard work. The kindness that ultimately leads her to hold a baby, Obed. This kindness is God's grace working in Ruth. It's not something she had just by nature. And we see this kindness at different spots through the book of Ruth. First of all, in that familiar passage in Ruth chapter 1, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, Naomi, for whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Ruth's purpose to serve the God of Israel. Ruth's insistence to not part from Naomi, from the one who had been struck with bitterness. Ruth's kindness to pursue an unknown and outwardly hopeless future. All she can think of is death. But she can think even of the greater than death, and that is the God. Thy God, my God. This is Ruth's kindness. And this reflects something of the kindness of the Lord. That in a hopeless famine, in a desperate time, that rather than leaving desolate and empty and bitter. God gets involved. God purposes not to visit in wrath and punishment, but to show kindness. Then we read in Ruth 3, verse 10, and he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter. This is Boaz speaking, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than in the beginning. The kindness of Ruth to work in an upright way in Boaz's field, to show care for Naomi and provide for her needs. The kindness of Ruth. And here, it is important again to see how Ruth is merely a mirror, reflecting something far more wonderful. The kindness of God. We read in Titus chapter 3, verse 4, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared. And we can see it in Matthew chapter 1, where through the history, all the generations, we read the name of Ruth and we can think, oh, her heart was kind. And what's so surprising about this kindness is that it's from a stranger. We could read in Deuteronomy 23, verse 3, after verse 1, somebody who would mutilate themselves, and after somebody in verse 2 of that chapter who would be born of an unclean marriage, that in verse 3 of Deuteronomy 23, a Moabite shall not enter the congregation of the Lord. Even unto the 10th generation shall they not enter the congregation of the Lord forever. So those who are mutilated, those who were born of an unclean marriage, those who were Moabites were to be excluded. They were to be shunned. They were to be kept away because of how they treated Israel. And yet Ruth, the Moabite, Ruth, the one who could have a grudge, who could repay maybe being excluded with bitterness, has a different spirit, a different heart. She's kind. She's genuinely involved for somebody else's well-being. Question that we must consider is, how kind are we? How genuinely considerate for somebody else's well-being are we? Sometimes I think in our churches and in our families, kindness doesn't thrive. Criticalness, the ability to pick opportunities that are too good for us to make points. But what about self-effacing, ultimate care and concern for the well-being of the other? Like the kindness of a mother toward her obstinate son, who again is insisting on his own way, and yet she prepares a lunch for him. She does his laundry. She sets herself to the background. shows kindness. Ruth was kind. The God of Israel showed loving kindness, considering the need and plight of his people. Ruth is in the line of the king. And this king is kind. He is the one who cares for the other completely. What thought comes to mind when you think of Jesus Christ? We can think of power and authority. We can think of his wisdom to understand and to know. I hope also we think of his kindness to visit a hopeless and helpless people in their distress and to reveal the heart of God. He is kind. This Advent season, let us remember kindness, the law of kindness, the gospel of kindness, that Christ, who was born of the woman, born under the law, is the kind one. He has it in his family, as it were, from God himself. The kindness and love of God. He has it through the human nature, even through a Ruth who was kind. How will you be kind, children? When you're in the school hallways and people are picking on somebody and you're inclined to join, think of the kindness of God, the kindness of Jesus Christ, the kindness of Ruth. And God calls you to kindness. What about in the family home this afternoon? When we could pick at each other, when we can take opportunities to make points, or will we be kind, understanding, showing interest, and laying ourselves down? So this is Ruth's kindness. Secondly, we have Boaz and his redemption. When we think of Ruth, this is the main point to ponder, and the word is redemption. That means to buy someone back, to pay a price, to be able to take something for oneself again. And that is what we read in Ruth chapter 4. The act of Boaz redeeming Ruth for himself, redeeming the field and the goods of Naomi, which included Ruth. And there was somebody who had the right of redemption before him. There would be an order, and there would be a first in line who would have the opportunity that if a brother died and had a wife and had some land, that the siblings, the brother of that one who died, could say, I'm going to take the wife of my dead brother and his goods for myself and raise up descendants, have children. so that his name can be continued in Israel. So there was one at the front of the line. And Boaz finds him, and Boaz says, if you would like the parcel of land that was our brother Elimelech's, buy it. But you must also have Ruth along with it. He wanted the land, but he didn't want to jeopardize his own inheritance. And so in verse 6 of Ruth 4, we read, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. So he passes, and Boaz was the next in line. Boaz would have had some means. Boaz willingly redeems the land and buys Ruth for himself. Verse 10, moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. Redemption. The purchase of not merely the land, but of Ruth, and bringing her to himself. And what we see is that in this redemption, life coming forth. Verse 11, the Lord make the woman that is come into thy house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel. That there would be the giving of life and the establishment of the cause of God. And let thy house be like the house of Pharaoh, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. Life. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife, and when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception. She bare a son. Redemption. Putting the price, paying the price. Leading to life, as it were, supernatural, God-given life. And verses 14 and 15 continue with this theme of life. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee the restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better than seven sons, hath borne him. The refreshment, the encouragement, the hope that the baby boy Obed would bring to Naomi. Life continued. Life enriched. Life redeemed. And this is the message of Advent. This is the message of Ruth's descendant, Jesus Christ, that there is life, hopeful life, that rather than a life of sorrow and bitterness, trouble and tears, redemption shines through the darkness, and we can see a purpose, we can see a value. In our days, life can be filled with so much despair, doom and gloom. And so much of it is because it's life without the wonder of redemption defining it. Where you have redemption, where you have payment made to restore life, to raise up a name for the dead. You have hope. You have a future. You have worth. Perhaps you're down in the dark days that we are in the time of year and in the spiritual climate. But remember this, the Redeemer lives. The Redeemer still is taking to himself those for whom he paid the price. There's still grace to be found, grace to be shown, grace to be applied by the Redeemer. But then too, this redemption shows us that only the price that was paid is required. Boaz redeemed Ruth freely, and yet perhaps at great cost to himself. Jesus Christ did not redeem with silver or gold, we read in 1 Peter, but with his precious blood. That's the message of Matthew 1, that Jesus, Savior, Jesus, Redeemer, Jesus, kinsman, near relative, has come to make his people his own, to bring his people to himself. And maybe that's where you struggle. How can I know if the price that was paid for me? How can I be guaranteed that what he did for me? Well, how could Ruth know? Well, Boaz declared, I will redeem. And the action showed the removal of the shoe and the handing of the shoe. And then Boaz would support her, and Boaz would go in unto her, nurture her, and remain with her. What did Christ do? He laid down his life. What is Christ doing? He's making known that he is the Redeemer, that he has paid the price. What is Christ delighting in? Delighting in people who have nothing of themselves, relying entirely on him. The call is not for you to know necessarily that the price was paid for you, but that Christ would have you to trust him, that he paid it in full, that he provides everything for your life, for your future, for your joy. And as the word comes, the Spirit mixes faith in your heart, works faith in your heart. and you can come to clarity. The Redeemer, as Job said, my Redeemer lives. He came to this world to find me in my low, desperate state and to save me, to bring me to himself. And I cannot live without him. Ruth is in the line of Jesus, an unlikely woman, a Moabitess. But she believed. She believed the God of Israel. She believed the promise. And that's what you are called to, what I am called to. Believe the promise. To know that God makes it known to us so that it would be our foundation. So we've seen Ruth's kindness. We've seen Boaz's redemption. The kindness of Ruth points to the kindness of Christ, of God our Savior. The redemption that Boaz made points to the redemption Christ made through his precious blood. Lastly, we have Jesus' kingship. Jesus' kingship. A king would be born. The king, David. We read of it in Matthew 1 that the king, David, would issue forth from Ruth and Boaz. We read it twice. In Ruth 4, verse 17, and the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. In verse 22, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. So what is it about the king? About King Jesus especially, that we see, well, it's the expectation of his coming. This is in advance. This is anticipating it. He had not come yet. There would be King Saul, and he would fail. But then King David would come forth, the man after God's own heart. And from King David, the covenant would be established that he would have a son to reign forever upon his throne. Actually, the name Elimelech, the former husband of Naomi, would be the name meant, my God is king. My God is king. And yet that, he should have known better. He went away from Israel. He fled the land in the time of famine. But what do we see Ruth doing? Ruth returning to the land, trusting the kingship, the rule of God. And how did that show in her life? Well, it showed in her life in her faithful obedience. She helped Naomi. She worked. She labored. She followed what was required of her to do. She gleaned, she begged, she conducted herself in such a way that the people knew she was serving King Jehovah. And this is the pointer also to King Jesus. He served, he obeyed, He followed the will of his father, even to death. We must not stop with the birth of Christ. We must understand that that birth required a lifelong obedience. Perfect, active obedience to God. And Jesus fulfilled it. And as Jesus reigns today as King, he's risen. He lives. What is the heart of the people of God? Come, thou long expected Jesus. Reign in us, O Jesus, as we wait thy coming. O King Jesus, bring enemies into submission. And O King Jesus, establish thy people. Is this your longing at the end of 2022? That the King would reign in his glory. He is born King by virtue of who he is. So, 2 points of application. Firstly, as we consider Ruth in the line of the King, what a significance that gives to her life. A so-called nobody from Moab brought into the kingdom of our great God and King. You want significance for your life? You desire meaning? It's in knowing the King of Kings. Understanding your lives, your day-by-day events and callings to be done for him. It can take nobodies and bring importance, meaning, and value. And secondly, for believers, oh, how delightful it is not to be in the genealogy leading up to Jesus, but to be those of whom it can be said that Christ would call us brethren. That Christ would say, behold, I and the children that thou hast given. Oh, the wonder of grace. And the reality that you and I will never understand why it changed us. Why it came to us, but that it would serve God's glory. Amen.